As Michigan joins with the nation seeking solutions to the mounting opioid crisis, researchers at the University of Michigan have come up with an important tool for policymakers and leaders. It's a study that identifies some of the highest risk counties battling the opioid epidemic, and that includes nearly a third of counties in Michigan. Rebecca Haffagee is an assistant professor of health management and policy at the University of Michigan School of Public Health. Rebecca, you studied 3,142 U.S. counties. What makes a county high risk? What information did you use to identify a county as high or low risk?
We developed a measure for this high risk that identified counties that both had high opioid overdose mortality rates and had low capacity to treat opioid addiction. The reason that that was important is because these medications and treatments for opioid addiction can vastly reduce mortality by 40 to 50%. So we wanted to come up with a combined measure of what counties had both risk factors and understand which counties these are and what characteristics they have.
That makes a county high risk.
Mm-hmm.
So what were the key findings of your study?
We identified a number of regions and states that had a number of counties that were high risk. Michigan was among them, as you said, mm-hmm. about a third of counties in Michigan we identified as opioid high risk. Other states within the Midwest region also had a number of high risk counties, like Illinois and Indiana as well, and then a number of counties in the South, North Carolina, Virginia, Kentucky.
So let's talk about Michigan. How do we compare nationally?
Yeah, Michigan had some of the highest rates of high-risk counties. And so what that tells us is that despite having high overdose mortality here, and we've been among the top, 15 states in that in the country for many years now, that we haven't caught up in terms of having enough treatment providers to try to mitigate those risks.
All right. What are some of the counties in Michigan at highest risk?
They're scattered around, some around Detroit area, Wayne County, for example, some others, Huron County, Genesee, Livingston, Macomb. I mean, there are 24, mm-hmm. so there are quite a few. They were mostly in the Lower Peninsula. There were a few counties we couldn't identify as high or low risk in the Upper Peninsula because they have low populations, so we didn't have the death counts for those counties.
Are you able to say whether rural counties or urban counties mm-hmm. overall had a higher risk in terms of the opioid epidemic?
So we found rural counties in particular didn't have a lot of treatment providers. So 71% of rural counties lacked any publicly listed treatment provider. So if you went and you tried to look up if they had a treatment provider of any of the three dominant medications for opioid use disorder or opioid addiction, they had none as of the end of 2017. But when we compare that with the overdose mortality risk as well, we found actually interestingly that metropolitan counties were actually at higher risk, which was a surprising finding. We were expecting to find rural counties.
You would think just based on it takes longer to get an ambulance to you and get you to a treatment center.
Yes. Yeah. And so part of that, I think, is because we used the most updated death data we could. So 2015 through 17, some of what we were picking up was the increased risk in metropolitan or urban areas because of fentanyl and the synthetics. So those drugs have really penetrated those urban settings in more recent years and are causing a lot of deaths. So what that tells us is there's spikes in deaths in those areas. And even though they have some treatment providers, they don't have enough to try to mitigate those harms.
So how'd we get here? Why is this, do you think? I know you've got the data, you've thought about this. How do you think we got to this point with so many places in our state and our country that don't have enough treatment providers?
There's a lot of barriers for prescribing these medications. They're heavily regulated, both at the federal and state levels.
And these would be the treatments?
These are the treatments mm-hmm. like methadone, buprenorphine. The third medication we also included was naltrexone, which is a newer non-opioid treatment. So that one's not as heavily regulated, but it also isn't used as much, and it doesn't have quite the evidence base that the other two do in terms of efficacy and effectiveness. So they're heavily regulated, for example, for buprenorphine, which is by far the drug that has the potential for the most expansion because any primary care physician can prescribe that, but they have to get a waiver before doing so. So they have to go through 8 hours of training to actually prescribe that, which it's considered to be a bit of a hypocrisy because to prescribe any opioid analgesic, all you need is a controlled substance license, and you don't need to jump through these additional hoops.
But to
yet,
provide
when we
the medication
treat,
that could treat
yes,
this.
That could actually help people, there are further barriers. Other persistent barriers are a lack of institutional support and peer support. A lot of prescribers want to make sure that they're not the only prescriber in a practice that is treating this patient panel and population because it can be a challenging population. They want to have backup support. They also want other providers like social workers and other case managers, that sort of thing, to help manage that patient caseload. And there's just not enough of all of those. Also, those other services aren't reimbursed very well. And then on the other side is insurance. They have some barriers like prior authorization or other hoops you have to jump through to get reimbursement for actually providing these treatments.
These are all things that you're talking. Yeah, lots of barriers that are not obvious to the average person.
Yes.
This is really going into the thickets for providers, for doctors, dealing with insurance companies, things that most people don't know.
Yes.
What do you want to be done with this research? Who are you aiming this at?
Largely federal, but mostly state policymakers. So states get these large amounts of grants from the federal government, and they have some of their own in their own budgets. But for example, the opioid strategic targeted response grants for the opioid crisis. So Michigan gets $16.4 million approximately a year just for the opioid crisis at the state level. And then they can target it at different localities depending on what they think the best use of those funds are. We wanted those policymakers to see, okay, these are the high-risk counties within our states where we need to be funneling more resources. We need to target some of these risk factors. And so other risk factors we found, like characteristics of these counties, not just the counties themselves, but also what were characteristics of them, where they had low employment, they had low primary care physicians, which goes to what we were talking mm-hmm. about before, that there's not enough people that are entering this space and treating patients in this space. Some of those factors that they could actually address those risk factors. So come up with employment strategies for people in recovery, come up with ways to incentivize doctors to actually want to, and other care providers, mm-hmm. to want to prescribe these medications and to do so in those areas.
And enact policy changes that might remove some of the hoops, these hoops
yes.
you're describing?
Yes, exactly that too. So think about why might people not be able to access these treatments under insurance in these locales, for example. So try to address these barriers and really target the money in the most effective ways, because there's a limited pot of money to put towards this crisis, and we want to make sure we're making the best use of those funds.
Does it feel like you're on the front line kind of fighting this wildfire, this health crisis that we have in our nation?
It does. It's unusual sometimes to be in a research area that is so in demand and where we need questions so quickly for what do we do. I also study a lot of prescribing policies and try to do evaluations. And one of the challenges there is a lot of these policies are being put into place so quickly and all at the same time. States are often actually, in some areas, not in terms of treatment so much, but I think in terms of prescribing, ahead of the evidence. So they're doing a lot of policies and flurry to try to do something, but we don't yet have a great sense of what definitely works, what are the unintended consequences of some of these policies as well. In many ways rewarding, but also challenging research space to be in for that reason, because we do have a need for answers now, but we also have data limitations in how quickly we can do these studies and how much recent data we have.
Rebecca Haffagy is an assistant professor of health management and policy at the University of Michigan School of Public Health. The recent study identifying some of the highest risk counties battling the opioid epidemic in this nation. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me.